out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
And it is episode number 812 in Baku. My name is Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And this is the Two Soft Compounds. We're going to be catching up later on with Nikki from Lights Out, who'll be giving us all our usual facts. And of course, we will be reviewing the Baku Grand Prix. What were your thoughts on this week's race?
Overall, a bit disappointing because I said in last week's podcast, this is my favourite race of the entire season because of the drama and the action it creates. And coming into the weekend, we thought there were a few teams that were playing catch-up were going to be on the front foot, when it turns out they were on the back foot. And then the race itself, no drama really. Free practice and qualifying, lots of drama. I thought, here we go, another great Baku weekend that just didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, it was the opening lap was exciting in terms of, you know, Hamilton and Bottas, but it was, wasn't it? It was like, well, Bottas got ahead, okay, that's it for the race, and it kind of just nothing. And Ferrari had some questionable decisions with their strategy, and it just, like you say, it wasn't. I was properly excited. You G'd me up with last week's podcast,
yeah,
and I was ready for a good race. I was thinking, yeah, he's right, it's gonna be lots of, and then, like you say, with the practice crashes and stuff and a few people in the barriers, I thought, yeah, we're gonna have a good one. And I believe the F2 race was very exciting, lots of crashes and safety cars. And
yeah, it was. I watched the F2 race, very good. It ended under the safety car. Oh no, one lap they got at the end of the safety car period before the checkered flag. It held loads of promise. It's a great track. We saw during the race that the slipstream down the main straight is unbelievable, probably the best of the entire year, and that produced some overtaking moves. But apart from that, there was no real drama. I think Ferrari were really unlucky that Leclerc put it in the wall, because I still convinced he would have got pole position, and that would have switched the entire race up in a completely different way, and it would have turned the whole thing on its head. That didn't happen, and from then on in, really, they were struggling. And Sebastian Vettel said that his car was virtually undrivable in the first stint because he couldn't get the tyres to work. And that's the same problem that Haas have got. Both Ferrari-powered cars can't turn the tyres on at the right time during the race.
I think we spoke about it in early season as well, on maybe the first or second podcast, saying this could be the year that it's Bottas versus Hamilton and Leclerc versus Vettel. And it's panning out that way, where Bottas is kind of, he's got the mental game is up there, isn't it, this year? And Hamilton seems a little bit subdued and a little bit, you know, that opening lap was not a Hamilton lap, was it? He didn't get his elbows out. He was almost like he went, well, go on, you go past and I'll catch you later. It just felt very much un-Hamilton. You know, normally he would be in the lead on the end of that first lap. And Bottas was the opposite. Bottas was like, nope, you're not having this. I'm keeping the lead. And the same with Vettel and Leclerc. It just feels very special this season. There's been a few mistakes, a few issues that are not his fault, a few problems with the car, but he seems on it. And he seems like once he gets his stride and once it all kind of falls into place, I think he's going to have a special season. Vettel's the opposite. Vettel seems, again, on the back foot.
There's one thing about the Baku circuit. When we first went there 4 years ago, everyone thought it would be an action-packed affair, and it wasn't, because everyone was, I think, a bit overly cautious. The second two races there, where everyone was like, right, I'm coming through, and there was drama and carbon fibre everywhere and carnage and safety cars and everything else. I think this year they've all proceeded with caution once again. If even Max Verstappen came over on the team radio that he didn't feel he was ready to overtake at one point during the race. He was going to stay behind the car who was in front of him for another lap. That's not Max. Max just he torpedoes his way through. It was like they were all being far too careful, which is fine, you know, they want to take the car to the end and score points, but it deprived us, I think, of some much needed drama.
There was a Vettel radio call as well, which I won't quote because he swore in it. It got beeped out on the thing, but he basically said exactly that. He said, another solid race, Sebastian. And he's like, yeah, sorry about the start, guys. I was, you know, basically needed to change my underwear and I was a bit nervous about going too fast. And these are the best guys in the world, the best drivers in the world, and they're nervous about going around this circuit. So, yeah, like you say, it's a shame because it could have been an amazing race, but turned out to be a bit of a damp squib.
Two soft compounds. Facial hair update.
Now, so obviously the Bottas beard of speed is continuing to be a bit of a tool in his armour. It's I don't know what I was going to say there. That got a bit weird, didn't it? I'm just fist pumping in the studio, getting all over excited.
Dear me, I went out Saturday night with a tool in my armour. Turned out brilliantly.
But the Bottas beard of speed is working well. Vettel has lost the creepy moustache and is now attempting a Vettel beard of speed.
It's not working.
No, it's not. He does need some form of speed, and the beard is not proving as exciting as Bottas's beard of speed.
No other facial hair to talk about this week, I don't think. Just the two of them, which is, it was a highlight of our podcast when we started, but even the facial hair is becoming mundane and boring now, isn't it?
Roshan-trip alarm. Roshan-trip alarm. Roshan-trip alarm.
Oh, the Grosjean alarm's gone off. Alarm. What's happening here?
Well, it seems as though he's actually tripped over the shavings from Vettel's moustache.
There would be a lot of shavings, to be fair.
There would be a lot of hair carnage.
He's lost a front wing on that.
Talking of trips, though, I mean, the race itself was largely uneventful. Grosjean did run down an escape road, spin the car around and restart, retake to the racetrack.
Now, I have a question on that, right? Because, you know, when they brake and they get a flat spot on their tyre and it, you know, makes the car vibrate and they're, oh, I can't drive the car because I've got a flat spot. When they do those little spins, when they, you know, and they do the big 180 and get back on the track, why doesn't that have the same effect on the tyres?
I think it does, yeah. I think they flat spot the tyres. Well, I suppose if they're spinning up the rear tyres, they're not necessarily flat spotting. They're just taking a lot of grain out of the tyre, aren't they? But it can't do them any good. Talking about trips, though, in the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, my favourite, and I laughed out loud on the couch when it happened, was Ricciardo reversing into Kvyat. I just thought, that was brilliant. I mean, he must have known something had gone on. He was further up the escape road. Kvyat was behind him. Kvyat's on the radio saying, I can't get it in reverse. Meanwhile, Ricciardo's had no problem finding the R button, and he's straight back into him. He said afterwards, I didn't see him, but he's got two mirrors on the car. He must have seen something behind him.
It was a very bizarre moment. Have you seen the memes with the steering wheel, with the reversing cameras on the steering wheel? And they said, this is Renault's new steering wheel for the next race, with the reversing cameras built in. But it was a bizarre moment, wasn't it? And he properly hit him as well, didn't he? He wasn't messing around.
Give him a good old Aussie clang.
Check out twosoftcompounds.com for the latest news, competitions and updates.
Enough of our tomfoolery. Let's get someone who really knows his stuff on the Two Soft Compounds podcast. It's Nicky from Lights Out. You can follow his amazing stats and blog by following him on Twitter at Lights Out. Nicky.
At the 2019 Azerbaijan Grand Prix, Valtteri Bottas took his 8th pole position and his 5th victory in Formula 1. On his way to taking pole, Bottas set a new track record and beat his teammate in qualifying for the first time at the Baku City Circuit. He's the first driver to take 2 pole positions in the 2019 season and, in total, now has the same number of career poles as John Surtees, Ricardo Patrese and Jenson Button. On Sunday, the Finn won by 1.524 seconds, the smallest win margin seen so far in Azerbaijan. Bottas also won the race in the shortest time seen so far at the circuit, with his drive to victory being 59.424 seconds shorter than that of Nico Rosberg in the 2016 race. Bottas becomes the first driver to win from pole in 2019 and only the second driver to win from pole at the Baku track. With it being his first pole position at the circuit, there is still yet to be a repeat pole sitter from the 4 race weekends in Baku so far, but Mercedes have now taken pole and won 3 times with 3 different drivers. The team's 1-2 result in qualifying marked the 62nd time that they've locked out the front row, equaling Williams' tally of front row lockouts. Mercedes also finished first and second in the Grand Prix, marking the first time in F1 history that a team have opened their Constructors' Championship charge with 4 consecutive 1-2 finishes, as well as being the first time that a team have taken a 1-2 finish at the Baku City Circuit. While he couldn't stop his teammate from taking victory, Lewis Hamilton did lead a single lap of the race after Bottas pitted. It's the first time Lewis Hamilton has led a solitary lap of a race since the 2016 Singapore Grand Prix. Hamilton is the only driver to have led a lap in 3 races so far this season, as well as being the only driver to have led laps in 3 Baku races. Ferrari ultimately fell short of Mercedes' pace in Baku. Charles Leclerc looked like the one to beat this weekend until he crashed in Q2. He topped all 3 practice sessions, marking only the second time that Ferrari have been fastest in every practice session in the hybrid era. Leclerc also set the fastest lap of the race, which was the 250th fastest lap for Ferrari in Formula 1. He becomes the 83rd driver to set multiple fastest laps in his career. On the other side of the Ferrari garage, Sebastian Vettel has equaled Michael Schumacher and Lewis Hamilton with podium finishes at 25 different Grand Prix, after finishing 3rd in Azerbaijan. He took a podium in Baku in 2016, but that was back when it was titled the European Grand Prix. he'll have the opportunity of equalling Kimi Raikkonen's record tally of different Grand Prix podiums at the Paul Ricard circuit in France. Further back, both Haas drivers failed to reach Q3 for the first time in 2019 and for the first time since last year's Mexican Grand Prix. For Romain Grosjean, this is only the second time in the last 18 races where he's failed to qualify in the top 10. In the race, Haas recorded the exact same result at the circuit in 2019 as they did in 2018, with Grosjean retiring and Kevin Magnussen finishing 13th. A Haas driver has finished 13th in all four Baku races held so far. Magnussen lost one place from where he started in the race, the first time he's lost places in a Grand Prix at the track. It was Kimi Raikkonen who gained the most places in the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, moving up 9 positions from his pit lane start to finish 10th. The last time Raikkonen gained 9 places in a race was at the 2015 Belgian Grand Prix. Through little fault of his own, Danny Kvyat was one of Sunday's 4 retirements in Baku. He's never finished a race here, and every Russian driver to start an F1 race at the Baku City Circuit has failed to see the chequered flag. Kvyat now has the outright record of most DNFs at the track, while this also marks the 3rd non-finish in the 4 races at the circuit for the driver starting from 6th on the grid. Finally, despite appearing in just 1 race at the Baku City Circuit, Nico Rosberg remains the driver to have led the most laps at the track, having led all 51 laps from start to finish in 2016. Valtteri Bottas is now just behind him, spending 49 laps in the lead over the past 2 races in Baku.
The Dirty Airbox.
So the Dirty Airbox is our villain of the week as such. And these guys are having an absolute mare all over, aren't they? Everything's going to be all right is the name of this music, but I'm not sure it is.
Yeah, this is the music we use when we talk about Williams. And yeah, you know, it was not Williams or George Russell's fault that he ran over the manhole cover. There was someone in the FIA medical department talking about this after the race. They said that could have been a catastrophic accident, which could have caused him a lot of injury. So we're glad that didn't happen, but it wrecked the car. So they were on the back foot then. And then Kubica puts it into the wall during qualifying and they are forced to start from the pit lane. So you think with everything going on with Williams and all the woes they're having and the fact that the car is terrible, that they would get the start procedure correct and not incur a drive-through penalty, which is exactly what happened. They released Kubica into the pit lane for the start of the race too early.
There was talk as well that they were literally, have we got enough parts? Because, you know, both cars have got damaged now after Kubica had his accident. And that's not a place you want to be, is it, where you're thinking, you know, have we got enough bits to rebuild two cars here?
Driver of the week.
So driver of the week this week, I think you were thinking Perez, weren't you?
Well, you know, Perez did a really good job in Racing Point. He out-qualified and out-raced Lance Stroll, which is beginning to become obvious each weekend now. I think, you know, Stroll is a paid driver. Obviously, Daddy owns the team. So he's going to be driving in that team until he's 80. Perez is making him look a little foolish at times. Mm-hmm. And this weekend just gone was probably one of those times. So Perez did well, and he always has done at the Baku circuit.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Bottas did a really good drive. So for me, it was Bottas. The fact he got his elbows out and just wouldn't let Hamilton pass at the start, I think that was a huge statement on Bottas's behalf. But just looking at the driver standings as well now, 87 points for Bottas, 86 for Hamilton. So those two are so close. But then you drop back to 52 for Vettel, 51 for Verstappen, Leclerc on 47. I think he's been unlucky. Perez is next on 13, who's tallying with Gasly, who's only on 13. So again, 51 for Verstappen, 13 for Gasly. There's a few drivers being made to look very average with the special drivers. Gasly, for me, is going down the road of Kvyat. It's that whole, you know, is probably maybe too soon to get him in the Red Bull. And he's just not. I always wonder, Hülkenberg's a good example. I always wonder if you put Hülkenberg in a top three team, how he would do. Because all the drivers say he's one of the best drivers. He's had multiple success in other formulas. Obviously a very good driver. There was a period where he was deemed a bit heavy for the cars because he's so tall. So they were like, I think he's about 12 and a half stone. And they're like, that's not great for our car. They wanted smaller, shorter, thinner drivers. But those kind of woes have gone with the rule changes on the weights. But I often wonder how Hülkenberg would do in one of the top teams. And Gasly's done the opposite for me. He's kind of, he looks special in an average car. They move him up to a top team expecting him to be special. And he's not so far performed for me.
It is bizarre. This season especially, it's bizarre that we're seeing difference in performance as greatly as this. I can't remember another season. I know we're only 4 races in, but I can't remember another season where the gaps between teammates and the teams lower down the order have been so massive. We've always talked this year about how the midfield are really tight. But they're not, certainly not based on Baku. Renault were absolutely nowhere. Haas are having a nightmare season. You know, last year Haas were fast and they looked good. Most of Haas's woes were down to mistakes they either made on the pit wall or Romain Grosjean made on the track. This year, they've got a fast car in quali, as have Ferrari, and they've got a slow car in race pace, as have Ferrari. They've definitely a problem with the Ferrari setup when it comes to switching the tyres on to work at the right temperatures.
Two soft compounds.
Obviously, we mentioned earlier on the reversing incident, we'll call it, with Ricciardo. But again, there's something not great about Renault, is there? They're struggling a little bit. They slipped down a few places. I think they might even be below McLaren now in the championship titles, which is crazy because they were the best of the rest last year. They were expected to be the best of the rest this year. And so far, not that great for Renault.
No, really disappointing. They've pumped loads of money into that team. They got Daniel Ricciardo and they're paying him a lot of money. They thought this was going to be their turnaround year. And so far, it certainly isn't. So disappointing in Baku. Ricciardo sort of took himself out by reversing into Kvyat, which didn't help things. And they've had technical issues and technical gremlins in nearly every race weekend we've seen so far this season, which just makes me think that they've got a lot of thinking to do and a lot of scratching of their heads before they get to Barcelona.
And once again, McLaren the opposite. They're doing much better things than they were doing last year. Lando is staying with Carlos Sainz. I think Carlos Sainz, I've always rated him as, again, he's another Hülkenberg for me that never really had a chance in an amazing team, but really good driver, really solid driver. And Lando Norris is sticking with him. So, you know, Lando is also proving to be a bit of a superstar for the future.
I thought McLaren were in the background more in Azerbaijan than they have been since the start of the season. I think each race up until this one just gone, you could pick out a highlight moment for the McLaren team, either with a Norris overtake or with a qualifying performance. This weekend, they seem to be more wallpaper than they have been so far. So I think they'll be looking to bounce back in Barcelona. That'll be the that'll be the title of our next podcast.
There
bouncing
it is.
Back in Barcelona, Lynn.
It's come up off the sea. Sometimes the best stuff just comes straight out of the top of your head, isn't it? Bouncing back in Barcelona. But of course, you mentioned Barcelona. This is the start of the European season. So that does mean a lot of the teams like this because they can bring a lot more parts to the track. And this is where we see the cars kind of evolve much quicker now because, you know, a lot of the teams are based in the UK. All of them pretty much based in Europe. I think maybe all of them are. Maybe not Haas, but everybody else is. So they can bring the parts to the cars. They can bring new wings. They can try stuff out. They can do, you know, here's a new wing for practice. How does this do? And so you start seeing quite an evolve car now. And I think if Ferrari are going to stop Mercedes, they need to do it now. And they can't let them run away with this because they're already so far ahead.
Well, you saw last year what Ferrari did is they started the season with a really strong car that they haven't this year. But what they did at Barcelona last season was Ferrari started bringing bits and adding to the car. And it took them months to realise that the stuff they were adding wasn't actually increasing their performance. This time, though, they get to Barcelona. Traditionally, the track in the European season where people start bringing fundamental upgrades, it's got to be one that works. I really do worry for the sport that the casual viewer is going to get really bored and cheesed off with a Mercedes 1-2 every week. I mean, we're not casual viewers, we're passionate fans. So we understand why it happens and we understand that you will have races where the top team is going to run away with the whole weekend. But we also understand that there's a reason for that. And, you know, Ferrari have looked strong in practice and in qualifying, just like they look strong in winter testing. But they've got to increase their race pace. They've got to figure out why they're struggling, especially in the first stint of the race. And they've got to turn that round for Barcelona.
You know, Williams don't have the budget of Ferrari, so you can understand that more, that they're struggling. Ferrari got no excuses. They've got the biggest budget. They've got the most team members of all, probably joint with Mercedes. You know, you're talking 800 to 1,000 people working just on that car. There is no reason why they've gone five seasons without, you know, a world title. The sport itself as well, you know, Formula E is really kicking off at the moment and the world is going very electric and very eco. I worry whether they've got enough stuff coming soon enough, because obviously Formula One, traditionally, they put all the technical stuff on the cars and that eventually works its way down to road cars and eventually, you know, saves us loads of money and is good for the environment in road cars. Are they doing enough of that? Is Formula E going to take over in that sense? A lot of manufacturers are joining Formula E over F1 now. And, you know, I think F1, there's some interesting times ahead for the management team to keep that rolling along.
They've got to keep it exciting to bring new fans into the sport. And like you say, Formula E is attracting a whole load of new fans. You know, Formula E are racing in Monaco in early May, and it's £30 a ticket to go and watch, with kids going free. Then you've got the W Series, which is starting, and you've got dinosaurs like Helmut Marko saying, oh, women wouldn't be good enough for Formula One. Mm. What an idiot. That's going to attract a new breed of fans, and before you know it, Formula One is diluted, and before you know it, you're just left with passionate old diehard gits like us.
Hey, speak for yourself. I might be a git, but I'm not old.
You're only 5 years behind.
We'll just give a quick mention as well to Alfa Romeo. I've always been a big fan of Kimi Raikkonen, and I've said to you before a few times, you know, I think he's one of those drivers. He can be a superstar in one of the top cars, as we know, because he's a world champion, but he can also be a superstar in one of the midfield cars. He's not bored. He's not, you know, I did wonder if he'd go to Alfa Romeo and be a bit like, oh, just take the paycheck, but he's still with it. I believe there's a stat that he's had points in all of the races so far this season, so he's finishing the top 10 in all the races. Giovinazzi is being a little bit outshone by Kimi Raikkonen, but again, he's a former world champion, so it's kind of what you'd expect.
And always, you know, at the end of the weekend, the FIA put together the best of the radio messages. Raikkonen features in every single race weekend. He's just fantastic with his lackluster approach and the way he verbally abuses his engineer. Just brilliant. I love it.
So we have the title, thanks to you, of our next podcast, which is going to be Bounce Back in Barcelona.
I have to say, like Alan Partridge.
Hello, Lynn.
Yes, so you can hear that next week. For now, keep an eye on our website, which is twosoftcompounds.com, for the extra skid videos, which you'll also see on Two Soft Compound social media. Oh, and by the way, please subscribe, rate, and review, even if you hate what we do. Leave a little comment. Oh, actually, no, don't do that, because then we'll go down in the rankings. No, only leave a comment if you absolutely adore us.
It's gone well, this bit, hasn't it? It's gone really well. We'll see you next week.
Next week.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.